a man, but where's the door?
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Awaiting Brett Easterbrook, who we moved the times around to accommodate. He has not made his way down the hallway for this segment, but we will patiently await. In the meantime, 251-343-0106. If you need to be in touch with the program, all you got to do is text me. And then in the bottom of the hour, here in about 15 minutes or so, Senator Orr make his way downstairs from the Senate to the plush state house conference room here. House Majority Leader Scott Stadhagen also need to mention that, putting us up and making us making it available for us to do the show today. Here he is, Representative Easterbrook, sitting down here. We'll get to him in just a moment. Roll through these texts. Any tax cut is a good thing. Might not be the one we want, but it is better than no tax cut. Motorman, I know the story, but don't forget to tell Phyllis goodbye. And then finally, Fire Dog, someday before I die, hopefully the Republicans will have a supermajority in the House and the Senate in Alabama. I can dream of tax cuts in a state Doge committee. Well, we can aspire for great things, Fire Dog. Anyway, here with us now, as advertised, he represents Washington County. We've talked to him in the past a lot about winding 45 and some other things, but State Representative Brett Easterbrook is making time for us. Representative, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for stopping by. I didn't mean to get you mid-bite.
That's
there.
Okay.
It was, as I've told people, you come in here and these two giant bowls of candy, and it's hard to resist. We haven't had you on in a while. How are things going?
It's going good.
Yeah, that's good to hear. The session generally, I guess gambling kind of overwhelmed everything last year. You don't have that to worry about this year.
I don't think we'll see any gambling this year.
Yeah, I agree. And if it does, it'll start upstairs, and there doesn't seem to be much appetite. Well, if there are things to talk to you about, well, it's not necessarily a favorite issue because it's long overdue. But getting 45 widened, I talked to Representative Stringer about this on a regular basis. Just still a reluctance. We're just going to have to wait for the next governor, it sounds like.
Exactly.
Yeah. What do you think it is? What's the reluctance there?
I think it's that simply the fact that there's not enough votes in that area that it gets ignored. That area from I-65 north all the way to I-20 hadn't been a major expansion in 55 years. So There's no four-lane access. Highway 43 goes north to Thomasville and becomes a pig trail.
Right. So, well, that's going to change eventually.
Eventually, or we shall see when the next governor comes in if it continues or not.
Right. Well, you'll get the Linden bypass, and then Who knows from there. And then you got to finish it to Tuscaloosa.
But Highway 45 is four-laned from the Wisconsin line all the way to the Welcome to Alabama sign. And it's very deadly. It's the deadliest highway in the state. And it's... It would be a major truck route for people trying to get to the port and the Amazon shipping centers and stuff in South Alabama, in Theodore. And the traffic, even though it's not there all the time, a lot of days it's bumper to bumper for a mile.
Getting through Citronelle, it's been bumper to bumper. I always tell this story, Representative. When I was young, I was like 83 or so. Kind of after Frederick, everyone was a little spooked. So whenever there would be a hurricane, even near Mobile, people would evacuate. Mm-hmm. And I remember sitting as a young child, sitting in 40 on bumper-to-bumper traffic. Somebody decided to tow their boat up 45 and just sitting in a standstill. And thinking to myself, I don't know what kind of your thoughts are going through, like a seven-year-old at the time. Well, this will be four lane someday. This won't be a problem. And here it is. 2025, and we're still having this discussion.
Yep. It's been, that discussion has been going on ever since I can remember. We had a state representative. His daughter was killed on Highway 45, J.E. Turner.
Right.
And that they actually passed a law that 45 would be the next highway four lanes. Came back in right after that, opened the law up and amended it. There's been no more talk of it.
I mean, sometimes we don't do that, though. Mm-hmm. We pretty much give the executive branch the leeway, the say to what ought to be done. They know the priority. But representative, I mean, maybe a little bit with this governor, but more so with Governor Bentley, your predecessor. I mean, sometimes that authority is abused for political reasons.
It is. And I think it's been going on for decades.
Yeah.
They spend the same money in the same places year after year after year, and they rank congestion number one. Okay, and they relieve the congestion for 6 months or a year, but all the jobs and stuff locate there, and it's congested again in another year or two. It makes no sense whatsoever to continue to do the same thing and expect a different result.
Yeah, and, you know, growing up in Birmingham, and, like, how many times are we going to fix I-20-59, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's a place that's not growing. It's actually doing the opposite. But it's kind of, it's a, you know, the business community's there, and so it's a big deal to them.
Highway 43 will actually eliminate a good bit of traffic on I-65.
I tell you, though, when I need to go, which isn't a few times a year, but I will go the Mississippi way to Tuscaloosa.
Oh, yeah.
I hit a deer coming back from the Auburn, Alabama basketball game a few weeks ago.
Once you get to the Mississippi line, it's nice.
Yeah, but you know, you get Meridian South, and it's a smooth sail. You got to watch out for those deer, but that's a whole other story. We're joined by State Representative Brett Easterbrook here on the program. I'm dying to ask you this question. I follow you on social media. Is that really you on social media?
That's me.
It is. All right. Good to know.
Yep.
Very opinionated, y'all. I got to follow him on Twitter, especially. You've had a had some good runs on there over the years, mm-hmm. canceling vacations to places and things like that. That was a big story, wasn't it?
Yeah, that one took off.
Yeah, and very, very astute about national politics. I guess the other question I'd ask you, your political future, you know, I've heard stuff. Are you looking at that Senate seat, the Jack Williams seat, since he's running for commissioner?
Yes. I'm moving to Sarah Land. We're building a house there, and I would be out of my district. So I'm not willing to play. We'll still have a place in Washington County, but that's not going to be my permanent residence. So I'm not willing to play that game of pretending to live somewhere. And
others have been bitten by that in the past, haven't they? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think it's right. So, you know, I'm not going to do it.
It'll be a wide open race. I have no idea which way that could go, but we'll have a Senate race here in a few months getting underway. You look at the legislature now, beyond everything we've talked about, and besides gambling, this has been a relatively tame session, but it could change. I don't know what lies ahead, but once we get past the budgets and you get past the BIR, that's when you really start to see things happen, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We passed the tax cuts yesterday. I heard you mention that. And one thing I'd like to say about that is, and people don't realize it because they will look at, for instance, the gas tax in Mississippi is cheaper than Alabama. Well, the overall taxes in Alabama are cheaper than any state in the United States. So whether it's sales tax, property tax, gas tax, income tax, when you add them all together, Alabama is the cheapest tax state in the United States and by far the cheapest in the Southeast. So the tax cuts that we just did, it's an expensive to do, but it's the right thing to do. And but what I would caution people is when you start talking about taxes, look at all of it and add it together. Don't just look at one piece and say, oh, they're higher.
Well, the property tax, right, is really low. Yep. The problem is not everybody owns property, so you don't realize those tax advantages, you know, directly. Some people don't. But the other side of that is, Representative, that with a sales tax, everybody has to buy stuff. Mm-hmm. Everybody has to go to the store and get stuff. So everybody has, no matter where you are on the, you know, I mean, there's some tax carve-outs for, you know, yep, some things, but everybody has to pay into the system.
The property tax, in my opinion, needs to be eliminated. The only reason you have property tax is that was the only way to collect tax revenue when they first started. They didn't have computer systems. They didn't have W-2s to keep up with income. So they attached a tax to the property. If you didn't pay it, they sold the property to collect the tax. If you have somebody that wants to buy land, say a farmer,
right,
he's paying for most of the kids to go to school. While somebody working at a plant putting his money on 401k is only paying it on the property tax on his house and his automobile, that farmer trying to make a living is paying it on every acre that he owns, whether it's timberland, crop land, or somebody just investing in land. So if you decide to invest in land, you pay for the schools, the local schools, while the people investing in the stock market, they're not contributing hardly anything. You can have a CEO making millions of dollars a year, only have a house, but he's got investments everywhere, and he's paying very little to the school system. I'm not looking to reduce the amount of money that goes to the school system, just to get it from a different place.
Let me ask you this, though, and you're, like I said, paying attention, obviously, to what's going on in Washington, D.C., and the way the Trump administration's very, very, I think, efficient right now, mm-hmm, in moving in a more rapid pace than they did in 2017 when he first was elected. Is there any momentum to be gained in the state level from that, you know, you have this going on in the backdrop in D.C.? Can it translate to Montgomery?
Are you talking about the tax?
Be it DOGE, rooting out some of the rotten bureaucracy and, you know,
absolutely,
all
it can transfer to Montgomery. And easily so. I mean, you've got outdated systems, computer systems. You got people sitting everywhere working on them. Most of that could be automated. You have, we are audited every year. But what people don't understand is an audit, and we pass the audits. It just means that, okay, you have on the balance sheet what you said. Cash, we've confirmed cash. We've confirmed accounts receivable. But it doesn't tell you that you spent your money wisely.
Right.
And we need a program to come in. I would call it a controlling function. And I've talked about this with leadership. A controlling function that would go in, let's say, to ALDOT, and they would pull the information from the states surrounding us and look at, how much do we spend per mile resurfacing a two-lane road, and how much of that is direct cost to subcontractors, and how much of it is overhead from ALDOT? If it looks good, you're done. If it doesn't, you start digging in to figure out
overhead so high?
Why are we paying more to the asphalt company? And I'm not saying we are, but if we are, and you go to every department and do that, you would find all kinds of would call it waste. I don't think we have much fraud, but the waste is...
There's no incentive not to be wasteful.
There's no incentive.
Representative, we're out of time, but thanks for stopping
by.
Let's do it again soon.
All right.
State Representative Brett Easterbrook. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Carry on, sweet southern comfort, carry on.